facing the country. You know, I felt like we Iran was steadily marching toward a nuclear weapons capability, and a lot of people kind of had their head in the sand, I think, putting all their eggs in the sanctions and diplomacy basket. And as I said before, I'd be absolutely delighted if we can solve this through diplomacy, but I'm afraid that we can't. And I'm afraid that at some point soon, we are going to have to make this tough choice between acquiescing to a nuclear-armed Iran or taking military action. And I was afraid that we were going to end up in a situation where we woke up one morning and Iran had nuclear weapons, a situation that I think would be very threatening to U.S. national security without having had this discussion. So I'm delighted simply to have the discussion. You know, Colin pointed out that there are risks to a strike. I agree with that. Colin pointed out that there are that we have some time for diplomacy. I agree with that. I think we have less time than Colin thinks. I think that the risks of a strike are less grave than Colin does. But given the grave threat of a nuclear-armed Iran, nothing Colin said tonight has leads me to back away from my conclusion that if we're faced with this difficult choice, a strike is the least bad option. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, I think actually the tone of and the assumptions that one brings into this issue are really important. You know, and I think ultimately, Matt and I have now done this like four or five times. It's like Barnum and Bailey. We go from city to city doing this thing. And the problem I ultimately have, I think my discomfort comes from the fact that on the one hand, I'm nervous about adopting worst case assumptions about the implications of a nuclear Iran when I think that the argument is more complicated and nuanced than a just it's the end of the world if Iran develops nuclear weapons. I think it's really bad, not as bad as some argue, but nevertheless, we have to be cautious about worst-case assumptions. Why? Because in the lead-up to the war in Iraq in 2003, a war that cost 4,500 Americans their lives, 33,000 wounded, more than 100,000 Iraqi dead, millions of refugees, $1 trillion and growing, we adopted worst-case assumptions about a phantom menace. All right, so we got to be careful not to do that again. The second thing is I think we need to be very careful about having worst-case assumptions about the prospects for diplomacy because it can very easily talk ourselves into saying that's it. That's the last straw. That meeting didn't go well. That's it. Now it's time for military action. And I think that I don't think that Matt's saying that. But I think that a lot of people who pick up on Matt's arguments and wield them about in this town, in Congress, on some talk shows and others do make that argument, that they're basically waiting, they're looking for any sign that sanctions or diplomacy have failed, not because they actually want them to succeed, but because they want war. And we have to be careful about that. And then lastly, we have to be very careful about adopting best-case assumptions about how the war will go and what the aftermath will be like. Because all we know about wars, you know, I've been involved in Pentagon stuff for a long time now, and there's the old cliche in the Pentagon that no plan survives first contact with the enemy. All right? It just doesn't. The war will not go according to the way Matt proposed. It won't go the way that I said it will. It will go in some uncertain trajectory. But in a region that is extraordinarily unstable, where there's already extraordinary uncertainty, in a global economy that's just now pulling out of the Great Recession, it's time to be cautious and to not fall prey to best-case assumptions about how easily the war will go, how much time it will buy, how easy it will be to bottle up Iran on the and the aftermath. So reject the worst-case assumptions, but be equally skeptical about the best-case assumptions as it relates to war. The good news is I'm just not as pessimistic about diplomacy at the end of the day, I think, as Matt is. I don't think there's going to be a breakthrough in the coming months, but the Iranians are really hurting. The regime is hurting. I think the Supreme Leader has made certain moves inside his government to give him some freedom of action to dial back the tension a little bit. So we'll have to see in the coming months whether he's willing to dial back some of the nuclear activities that are driving the Israeli strike clock to be spinning as quickly as it is. And let's see if we can buy, you know, it's not just the Iranians who want to buy time. We all need to buy time. We all need to slow the program down to buy time over the next year or two or so to reach a final resolution to this issue. And I think in this point, I would basically agree with President Obama. There is no military solution, short of invasion and occupation, that creates a permanent solution to this problem. Only a diplomatic outcome creates an enduring solution. So we should give every opportunity for diplomatic success before rushing into war. Thanks a lot.
Let's thank our guests tonight, Dr. Colin Call and Dr. Matthew Tramer. Thank you so much. And thank you for joining us.